Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
1. This is Miranda Morales, and you are listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show. The Hashtag Miranda Show is proud to be part of the Chairshot Radio Network and is available on thechairshot.com and ewrestlingnews.com. Hopefully you already knew that because that's how you found this show. But if you didn't, surprise! If you are a fan of pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions, you can go to thechairshot.com where you can get all of those things and more.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's coming in threes, everyone. Coming in threes.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
We're off the rails. We're off the rails. But you probably already knew that. We are recording this. I'm taking a line off of what we did at Chairshot Radio earlier. March 17th, 2020. And you never know when you're going to be listening to this episode, but if you are listening to it, and especially if it's just, you know, the week that it's been in the world, you may know things are getting, a little crazy out there. So why not this show? Because we've always kind of been off the rails, though, so we've been ahead of the trend. You can also visit ewrestlingnews.com to get all your source for wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. A lot of the same that you can find on thechairshot.com, but also a lot of other great, amazing content. You can follow me at thechairshot. I'm not at thechairshot. You can follow me on social media at the hashtag Miranda. Facebook and Instagram. You can follow The Chair Shot on social media at thechairshot.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'll be throwing out some other, things later on with my co-host when he gets introduced. But thank you so much for listening. I hope all of you are doing well. Like I mentioned earlier, I know it's a little bit of a crazy time happening in the world, but you know what? We are going to keep on rolling. And luckily, we can record podcasts from the safety of our own home. So I have a feeling a lot more podcasts are going to be starting over the next few weeks. And good on you if you decide to pursue a fun hobby that allows you to do it from the safety and comfort of your own home. Good on you. Speaking of the safety and comfort of your own home, that's where my co-host is right now in his own home, in his kitchen, I think. I don't remember where he records this from. But let's bring in the co-host, Greg DeMarco.
I think technically it's the dining room, but either way.
Okay. Yeah.
It's funny that it's like, you say it's the safety of his own home as if it's not always done in the safety of his own home. Like, literally.
That is also true. We do record in the safety of our own individual homes.
Literally,
so
like
that's the way it's always been.
The couple weeks when you did this from a different room in your house were like so weird and different. And
not
only
do
we do this
around my house sometimes
from the same place, we do this from the same spot in our homes as well. So,
yes. Yeah. I just got to let the people know, that we I'm sure they're in the safety of their own homes as well.
I hope so.
Their own domiciles, as if we want to get fancy with that. Yes. Tsukasa.
Meet me, Casa. I don't, you're going where I don't know.
I thought we were just coming up with different terms for houses.
House, which is German for house. Das Haus.
Yes. I ran.
When in doubt, play a soundbite. That's my policy.
Yeah. But anyways, we're recording from the safety of our own homes. We have been experiencing, I'm sure, just like many of you, kind of the effects of COVID-19, also known as the coronavirus. It's impacted everyone's daily lives, whether it's your work situation, school. Now it's impacting restaurants and bars. A lot of people are now working from home. It's impacted travel plans. It's impacted events, which we're going to get into a little bit because it completely impacted my past weekend. If you listen to last week's show, Greg and I did a preview of Ring of Honor's two events that were going to be happening in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes, and Greg just did, a ball and thrown out. And if you haven't heard, which I'd hope you have heard, that right before the 18th anniversary show, so the day before that show was to occur, Ring of Honor put out a statement that they were canceling both the anniversary show and the past versus present show. It was a sudden decision, but it also came at a time when a lot of other organizations, especially sports leagues, decided to cancel or postpone their events. I believe the first one that happened was the NBA. Then you had the NCAA tournament, at first stating they were going to do empty arena games, but then completely squashed the entire tournament. You had MLB spring training canceled. The XFL, even though they were one of the later ones, did cancel the rest of their season. A lot of other just collegiate sports and sporting leagues, golf, even the Kentucky Derbies decided to postpone their event up in, until later on this year. So that all happened within the same time span of ROH deciding to cancel their two shows. But of course, your girl had already pre-planned this trip, a few months in advance. And at the time, now it seems to be a little bit more smooth sailing. But beforehand, travel companies, airlines, hotels weren't providing refunds quite yet, or cancellation. Or waivers, or no charge fees to cancel. So your girl still went to Las Vegas, and we had this conversation during Chairshot Radio with Patrick because Greg kind of put me in a hot spot. He pretty much asked Patrick his thoughts about me going to Las Vegas, fully knowing that it could be a risk in my health. And understandably, Patrick was not a big fan of it. But I'm curious to your thoughts, Greg. I mean, you talked about it a little bit on Chairshot Radio, but what were your thoughts when I still decided to go to Las Vegas this weekend?
I'm gonna pull the curtain back just slightly, and probably more than I should, but I don't care.
Who cares? Well, then who cares?
Did I encourage you to not do it?
No.
Then you should know how I feel about it. If I thought it was a bad idea, I would have said something. Like as someone who's supposed to be one of your best friends, one of your two best friends in the whole world,
Yes.
if I thought it was a bad idea, I should definitely say something. Like, I had a bad workout today, and you're like wanting to know why. Like that's what friends do, like especially friends that are that close. I got it. Like I never expected you not to. Like I would have been more surprised if you were like, yeah, I just feel like I can't do it. I would have supported that. I wouldn't have told you had to do it, but I wasn't going to tell you. You shouldn't do it. I didn't really think you shouldn't do it. And it's just, there's just different levels of the wrestling business. And this isn't to slam on Patrick, who's not here to defend himself, but he's, a fan, an analyst, that sort of thing. You are, people don't think of themselves as a talent when you're out there, but you're a talent. You're ring announcing, you're interviewing, you're doing all that. For me, you're also producing, you're making decisions that affect future things that I do, like all that. For me, like I'm a promoter, like I'm responsible to make sure the show goes off and makes money. And It's so I get it. Like I and I'm also, the pro-choice guy we were talking about earlier. Never once did I think about suggesting you not do it. Never once did I think, oh, maybe she really shouldn't do this. Like, if the show goes on, I fully expected you to do it. If the show didn't go on, I wouldn't expect you to do it. It's really easy for me to say in hindsight the show shouldn't have gone on. Because since the show, so much has happened. Like, it's only been 48 hours ago, you were probably like wrapping things up and wheeling your bag out the door from right now. But literally, it's just so hard to put any type of ideal on anybody working that show because there was no precedent set. There was nothing you could look back to for advice. There's no historical, significance or anything that happened historically significant before that for you to base your decision on. You had to make a decision in the moment. You went there. Everything else you had going on was canceled. This is the one thing that wasn't canceled. It just made perfect sense for you to do it. It's like you said, might be an opportunity that you never get again and could be the biggest opportunity of your career. I once got to ring announce a show for the NWA in front of, 1,300 people at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, Arizona. If I were in the same position and that show was the show in question, I would have done it. Unequivocally. I would have done it.
Yes.
And nothing would have
And
changed. So I
yeah.
yeah, I to you know, short story long, no, never thought you shouldn't do it.
And what Greg's alluding to is that not only was I going to be in Las Vegas for both Ring of Honor shows, to represent the chairshot.com, but I also received the opportunity a few days before heading out. This was just, before everything came out with COVID-19, before Ring of Honor decided to cancel their shows, to ring announce for a promotion in Las Vegas, Future Stars of Wrestling. They had one of the biggest events of the entire year, their Mecca show. This was Mecca 6. And things aligned where they were needing an announcer. I was available. I was going to be in town. And I got the opportunity to work with that promotion. And I mentioned on Chairshot Radio that it was the biggest, event that I've announced for. And for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. And the company did take precautions. The wrestlers there all took precautions. Everyone was mindful about their interactions, their physical interactions with each other, asking people their comfort level, because there were some people who did keep a distance from others. There was especially Ring of Honor, throughout the weekend, their big thing that they posted on social media and in their videos was their interactions was all with elbows. So everyone was kind of giving an elbow to each other, and that kind of followed through with the event on Sunday.
For the second
But
show
there
in a
was
row,
also, it was some
I
really
just.
fun interactions where some people were like, "Yeah, I can give you an elbow, but I'm about to also wrestle someone in the middle of this ring with." Just physically having a match with them and that kind of exposure. So I understood both sides of the story. I understood, the show must go on. And also at that time, Las Vegas had not put any mandates forward regarding, what could or could not happen. They got the blessing of the casino. They got the blessing, of all the people that they needed to in order to run this show. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a silver lining in things that happened over the weekend. Yes, it was a huge bummer to have ROH canceled because that was something I was really looking forward to. I really tried to study and prep for that as well. I mean, Greg do a lot of work with me for that, and to have that canceled was a real disappointment. But on the flip side, to have the opportunity to announce for a promotion as big as Future Stars of Wrestling for their, one of the biggest shows of the entire year, it's just something that in the business you just decide consciously, what risks you're willing to take and what you want to do. And for me, it was just something that I knew that I wanted to do. So thank you to Future Stars of Wrestling for allowing me to announce for that event. That event was also streamed live on Fight TV. So if you're interested in downloading it, you can go and download the Fight TV app. Look, Future Stars of Wrestling Mecca 6. There was a lot of great matches on there and some great wrestlers on there. Tessa Blanchard and Daga were there. Michael Elgin, Tom Lawler, TJP, and Hammerstone, Chris Masters. and a lot more. So if you're a fan of pro wrestling and you want to watch that event, go to Fight TV, download FSW Mecha 6, and enjoy yourself some wrestling, because we don't know when we're going to be getting new wrestling again. And this kind of leads into my main topic of the week.
I want to bring up two things real quick. Can I bring up two things real quick? Number one, for the second show in a row, when talking about the elbows, you have shown your elbow to no one.
Oh, yeah, I got to show elbows.
Like, you're like, important. Elbow, and the next thing you're like, elbow, and I'm elbow. Like, it's just, I'm the only one who sees that, but it's okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about the show going on, because for Ring of Honor to cancel shows is one thing, right? For WWE to make major adjustments is one thing. For all these other promotions to cancel shows is one thing. For a company like FSW, Mecha is their biggest show of the year. Mecha is also a big financial investment. And a lot of times deposits are made and things are paid in advance. And if you don't run that show, sometimes you never run a show again. Like, that's what can happen to an independent wrestling promotion. Like, it's literally sometimes you're show to show, and FSW's been around for a long time, and that's the nature of the business sometimes. Like, there's a possibility that not running that show could have done them in. And that's just reality, and you got to make those decisions. And I'm sure the crowd was different because of the time period. Maybe more fans could have been there otherwise. You know, you just don't know. And that's a reality you got to face. That's a reality that I have to face with Impact Zone Wrestling, and that's something that I tease Miranda about off air. But the way the dates line up, it's kind of crazy. So we've talked about it here on the show, and I've promoted it. But Impact Zone Wrestling, February, we talked about it. Packed house, sold out. For Monster, I didn't even want to do about a Royal show, but we did, and it went really well, so now I got to do it every year. But fast forward to May 16th, that's our next one, right? And
yes.
That's it. And so, you know, CDC, World Health Organization, President Trump, moron or not, who cares? They've all said that, like, no gatherings. First it was 50 or more, now it's 10 or more. And yeah, there's all these jokes in there, 50 or more, half the independent promotions can still run, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny.
Especially in Arizona. But thankfully doesn't apply to us. But it's you know, we're on May 16th. May 16th is week 9 of this 8-week time frame that they're giving. And so we met today, we talked, myself, my partner, and the venue had a conversation, and we've decided that as of today, as of right now, we're moving forward as planned, and we are not going to make any changes. And our hope is that the 8-week time frame is legitimate, and that we get to be lucky enough, just by base of the calendar, to kind of be that show that pulls everyone out and get people get to go to and have fun and enjoy, and wrestling gets to be what wrestling normally is for people, and it's that escape and that fun and puts the smiles on their faces, like we talked about during Chair Shot Radio. So as of right now, the show will go on. We're going to be doing a ticket deal here in the next 2 days for people, with the caveat that if the show is canceled or postponed, tickets will be refunded or honored at the next show, and we will put that out there. We will make the decision if we need to, with plenty of advance notice. That's something we agreed to with the facility. And look, the people who run the facility have been with IZW since longer than I have. Like, this is literally family, basically a family thing that we're, you know, Miranda's part of the family now, and we're all part of the family. If you go to the shows, you basically become part of the family. That's how they are. And so kind of thinking about that family environment, it's like, this kind of seems like an IZW thing to do, and it worked out with the calendar. Now, if these things get extended, and I recognize the fact there's a possibility these things may get extended, then it doesn't happen, and then we refund all the tickets, or we honor them at the next show, whether we reschedule it or whether we move it to August. Who knows? But as of this moment, IZW Grand Prix 2020, the first annual, we crown a brand new champion, will take place on May 16th. So head on over to IZWWrestling.com, pick up your tickets here in the next few days when we initiate a big discount sale we're going to do, and let's have some fun. So, and if it doesn't happen, you get it back. There's no risk involved in it. Just prepare yourselves, and hopefully 9 weeks from now, we're going to be good to go and get to have a little fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens after this first initial 8-week period. Many companies have decided to, well, of course, cancel due to the federal and city guidelines and state guidelines that have been implemented. Many companies are already planning for the future, which is great. And also, I think we'll be really anxious. You know, they probably won't have. and feeling like you're losing nothing. Lose something, you know, as soon as you get it back, you hold on to it tighter. So maybe we'll have that kind of reaction with pro wrestling and pro wrestling fans once people are actually able to physically go to live shows. I do want to mention that Ring of Honor did make a statement not too long ago, I believe within the past 24 hours, that they've decided to suspend all of their live events through May 31st. NWA has decided to suspend all of their events, including the Crockett Cup through June. And then lots of other local promotions are suspending operations and shows through May and possibly June. So, you know, in those cases, you're going to have to just keep up with your local promotions, with the promotions you're interested in. A lot of them are just giving updates on social media. So that's going to be important. But I do think it is important for us as fans just to keep an eye on that, that once these shows do come back, if we, you know, are excited about it and we're interested to go to these shows. Again, willing on your comfort level. This is not a message to try and push you out of your comfort level, that if at that point it's still too early for you to have those interactions, don't push yourself, you know? But if, you know, you are excited to go to a live wrestling show after this happens, you know, don't forget to support those local promotions in whichever way you want. I know there's been a lot of discussion online on both sides, people, you know, putting out content and asking for support through, you know, purchasing of merchandise, of website views and all that to help those wrestlers who lost a lot of bookings and opportunities over these past, over these next 8 weeks. And there's other people who say, you know what, it's not fair to force that on fans and, you know, try and push them to buy your stuff when they need to be more concerned about how they're going to take care of their families and how they're going to, you know, afford groceries. And I can see both perspectives because I think it's important that as, you know, professional wrestlers, a lot of them, this is, you know, a huge source of income. So for them to get creative on ways to try and supplement that, I can understand. But also to not push any fans outside of their comfort zone, that they need to focus on their priorities first, which is themselves and their families, their bills. And there's been people who, you know, have had their work hours affected. Some people have reduced hours, been laid off. And so now they're living in a whole new world where they have to now find a job when a lot of places are closing down. So my, you know, insight on that is do what makes you feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable enough supporting an independent wrestler through purchase of their merchandise, that's great. But if you are looking at your finances and saying that's not something I could do right now, that's okay. You can still like their posts for free. You could still send messages. You can still do whatever, you know, makes, you know, you could still be a fan for free. That, you know, not buying the merchandise does not make you any less of a fan whatsoever. You know, it is your love and dedication to being a wrestling fan that makes you a wrestling fan. So don't feel pressured into purchasing anything that you don't want.
Yes, but if you can, definitely do it. Take full advantage of that and help your buddy out. But just don't do it from Jimmy Rafe.
Don't do it from Jimmy Rafe, yes.
Because you'll never receive the merchandise.
Yes, we know. And I know I just did that right over your IZW plug. And of course, you know, okay. still purchase IZW tickets. Yep. But there's still going to be lots of time. There's going to be lots of time to purchase IZW tickets if you need to get some of your finances in order and plan out. Totally okay, but also take advantage of the sales because that's where, you know, you can save some money. And of course, as I just teeter-totter way back and forth, if you are available, if you have the finances, if you're interested, you can support thechairshot.com by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, where you can buy any type of t-shirt you like. Over 15 different designs that are available, different types of styles. You can get tank top, you can get fitted, unisex, but most of all, more importantly, you can get a soft style t-shirt. So if you're looking for something to purchase, if you want to do it from the comfort of your own home, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot in order to get your t-shirt today.
I just went and counted 27 now that are available.
27 t-shirts, yes. Yeah. So
is that not crazy?
It's way above 15.
Yes. By the way, since we're talking about ICW, you can also get ICW shirts there, including two brand new designs that I'm really excited about. So that just went live today. So yeah,
very excited about those.
Breaking news
over here.
That's right.
Now I'm breaking news about the May 15th event, but also, you know, two new T-shirts that are available.
Definitely inspired by other designs. One a wrestling, one not a wrestling. So yeah, definitely go check them out. But I know you got other topics you want to talk about.
Yeah, so speaking of all these cancellations, all the things that are happening within the world, and especially pro wrestling, WWE has decided to take a different approach with their content. It was last week where they announced that they were, well, I think it actually just started with NXT. I think NXT was the first show that got impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, and they decided to move the show to the Performance Center. From Full Sail. And they ran there. And after that, though, the next show was SmackDown. And there was rumors that they were going to also move SmackDown from its original location to the Performance Center, which they did. And from there, it was safe to assume that they were going to do that with Monday Night Raw, which they did. And with SmackDown and Raw, both of those shows were done without anyone in the audience. NXT was done with an audience, a much smaller audience, but that was before we got, you know, a lot of the mandates regarding capacity limits to venues and recommendations on, you know, what people could, should, or should not do. But that meant that for the first time ever, both Raw and SmackDown were held in empty arenas with no fans. And the first thing that it brought me back to was the halftime heat match between Mankind and The Rock. It's actually one of my favorite matches ever. And not only because that was recorded in Phoenix, Arizona, which, you know, of course, is where, you know, the state that, that Greg and I live in. But to me, it had a deeper meaning to what pro wrestling is. It was the first time on publicized, you know, TV in which two pro wrestlers had a match without anybody there. Now, this was done in the context that it was done during the halftime of the Super Bowl. WWE wasn't running house shows during the Super Bowl because they knew, you know, you had a competing fan base. So this was the first and only time they had done halftime heat until, I believe, was it last year when they did the halftime heat at the Performance Center. But that was with a crowd there. And to me, it was fascinating because the joke started to run in about, you know, WWE doing a halftime heat, and if other promotions wanted to do that, if they wanted to run empty arenas or empty locations and record those and stream those to still provide content and still produce content for viewers. Now, I think WWE is in a much different situation because they have, you know, contracts, agreements with Fox and with USA where they, you know, need to produce content on a weekly basis. And they could have definitely tried to piecemeal together, you know, a best of or other things. I think Raw did, they did more of that on Raw right. this past week where they showed a lot of the Sears Royal Rumble.
SmackDown, they showed the tag team Elimination Chamber match from the Elimination Chamber mm-hmm. pay-per-view. And, of course, yeah. on Raw, they showed the entire Men's Royal Rumble match. So
yes.
it definitely did supplement the content, which meant less people had to be there, and less people had to perform, and less people had to be put at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to me, I go back to that halftime heat match because I've loved the dynamic of that match, and it's almost that analogy of if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? How much is an audience important to professional wrestling? When wrestlers train for many years at a school, they do that, you know, one-on-one within their groups without anyone there. So they train without an audience. It isn't until they go out into doing their, you know, matches in which an audience is put in there or that dynamic is added. And I also want to reference a really interesting article that I found online from Vulture, which is a segment of New York Magazine titled "Professional Wrestling Without an Audience is an Avant-Garde Theater." Because that to me is kind of my theory behind this. I'm actually really interested to see what the next few weeks of content is without an audience, because I think it's going to force WWE to go into a stronger creative direction. I think that they've been able to rely on and kind of use the audience as a crutch sometimes to either bury or have a storyline succeed. But when you take that element out, and you have just really the wrestling and the wrestlers, and you just have exactly what is in front of you, how does that change the storytelling? How does that change the match even setup? Because usually you can almost hide behind a crowd, and maybe that's not the best word, but you can use the crowd to gauge what you're doing, to have that support what you're doing. And now you don't have that. So one term I coined during Chairshot Radio this past week was unplugged. We talked about WrestleMania being moved to the Performance Center. I feel like we're now doing Wrestling Unplugged, where it is almost the acoustic version of WWE. So to me, I'm really interested, and I actually think it pulls out the art of wrestling. I do find wrestling as an art form. It's a show of performance. When you think about theater, it is very similar to that. It is people in a ring telling a story using their expressions, using, you know, physicality, but they're telling a story. And so this article by Vulture, for me, really speaks to what I think is going to be happening with the WWE, where there's going to be more of an emphasis on storytelling, where we're going to be looking at these matches and these promos very differently. And not just because we're not going to have the crowd around to kind of gauge what they feel like, but it's going to force people on an individual level to assess, do they like what they're watching and not be influenced by a crowd, and really just have a steady vision on a match, and just focus on that. Great. I'm really interested in your thoughts on this, because I feel like I'm very, I have a very unique view on this, and I'm not sure if there's other people out there who do. I mean, obviously, the article from Vulture speaks to that, but I don't know if you view wrestling as an art form in the same way that, you know, avant-garde art form that maybe myself in this article is talking about.
I definitely view it as an art form, and I view it as a creative expression and all of that. It's interesting because I took some notes what you were saying, and I believe a lot of what you're saying. The scope is very different when we talk about WrestleMania, and that's what gets me. Like, Halftime Heat was one match, and it worked for one match. I don't know if it's going to work for 14 matches. And that, I think, is a big challenge for me. And yeah, wrestlers train without an audience, and they do. They absolutely train without an audience. But almost every single time they're training for an audience. And everything they learn is learned based on the fact of an audience is going to be there. So yeah, they've trained without an audience, but they haven't trained for this at all. Whether or not they go in a stronger creative direction, and you know, I'm usually the WWE apologist, right? You've even called me that. I don't know that they're going to go in a stronger creative direction. I don't think they're, because this is a short-term thing. It's going to be over in, you know, hopefully for them, eight weeks, right? But when people let them run, they're going to run. But it's, I don't know that they're going to go in a stronger creative direction. I think they're going to go into that celebration of wrestling that we talked about during Chairshot Radio with bits and pieces of the current product dropped in. WrestleMania is already sold on nostalgia in a lot of ways, and they have all that in the can already. So I think that's what they're going to focus on. I do agree that it will change the match setup for sure. I think, and that's a lot of it's, you know, at this point for WrestleMania, they wouldn't have started producing agenting matches for WrestleMania anyway. So I do think that how certain matches will go is going to be very different than how they would have gone had this event taken place at Raymond James Stadium in front of 70,000 people. One last question about everything that you said, and maybe we'll need to go back and listen to Chairshot Radio to determine this, but who coined the phrase WrestleMania Unplugged? Who coined that phrase?
I mean,
Miranda Morales?
I kind of remember me setting it up, and maybe like you, I threw the pitch and you hit it.
Okay, you're gonna play so the teamwork. Like you're gonna play the teamwork card. Okay, you're gonna play team. I'm gonna give you the teamwork card. because it was. Had you not,
for those of you who don't know, Greg is just really digging in that he coined the phrase.
I will say that had you not said the acoustic version of WrestleMania, I probably would not have said WrestleMania Unplugged.
Exactly. So I do think I set up the pitch effort. And you hit it.
You did.
That's what teamwork is about, Greg.
So this one's for you. That was teamwork at its finest. You are correct. I sit corrected. You are right. I am wrong. You are smart. I am stupid. You are the host. I am but a button pusher.
I mean, you do push buttons. You're but only welcome. Because you love to push the buttons. You love to push the buttons.
Still talking about the show, right?
This article references from this last week's SmackDown a segment between Bray Wyatt and John Cena. And it mentions that you can notice more of the subtleties between John Cena and Bray Wyatt that you wouldn't in an arena full of people. The body language, the way that they stare at each other, the tone of the voice. And I think that's, again, I think by removing all of the chaos around, even the commentary was limited. Usually, you know, because it's more of a spectacle, commentary interjects a little bit more. And this time it felt like they allowed the segment to just stand on its own. Do you think we're going to see more of that over the next few weeks? We're going to see more segments and less talking in between with commentary?
Maybe. I think we could see that because commentary, it's weird. Commentary, to me, believe it or not, also has a lot to do with the crowd. And and because the commentators, they're really describing, when they describe the action and aren't telling stories, and I'm not knocking them for that, like many people do, they're describing the scene. And the scene is the crowd, the ring, the wrestlers, the stage, all that stuff. And when you take away, from a numbers perspective, from a sheer just volume perspective, you're taking away 99% of what's there normally by removing the crowd. And so I think the commentary, it's because when the commentators talk, there's crowd noise behind them. So it's not very overwhelming. If commentary spoke as much during an empty arena as they do during a full arena, you would realize just how much the commentators talk. And it's a lot. And it's okay because they're somewhat not drowned out by crowd noise, but the crowd noise is there and it's part of it all. Without the crowd noise, the commentary can become overwhelming and overbearing. And so I do think they need to pull it back a little bit and let what we're watching. It's like if you're watching a movie with a narrator, the narrator doesn't talk as much as the commentators do in wrestling. And yes. But there's not crowd noise. And when there is crowd noise, there's usually more narration that goes on in a movie type setting. So I do think we'll see that change. I think there'll be less commentary because it's a different product at that point. It really is.
You bring up a good point. And to say, I think the segment between Bray Wyatt and John Cena was one of the better examples. I did watch Raw yesterday, and I watched it to the end, which is the first time in God knows how long. And a lot of it was because I was very curious to see what was going to happen with Stone Cold, because his dynamic for the entirety of his career and forevermore was so heavily based with the fans. And to just be Stone Cold Steve Austin in an empty arena with you know, no fans there on 316 on March 16th, I was very curious as to, you know, what that was going to look like. And I mean, I'm sure they did the best that they can, but it absolutely was not the same. When he threw out those hell yeahs and there was silence, it was, I mean,
thank goodness for Byron Saxton, like literally.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, the whole thing with Byron.
Byron on Raw and Triple H on SmackDown were like If I did Three Stars of the Night for those, they both would have been the top star of their shows. Like, they literally just carried those broadcasts. Like, God bless Byron.
Byron took one for the team. Thank God he, you know. But the whole 316 segment was so disappointing. I know it would have been a million times better if fans were there, because that's really, you know, what made Stone Cold so popular, but what helped, you know, his character grow and be cemented in history as one of the best professional wrestlers ever. Why still now people are drawn to him, why ratings go up, all of that when he's on TV. But when you just have him in an arena with no one else, it's so different. It's so stripped. It's like, you know, maybe this isn't the best way to describe it, but it's when you find, you know who Oz is behind the curtain, you know. And not to say that him as a person is any different. He's still, you know, the badass walking down the ramp drinking beers. But when you don't have that fan base there to supplement and to really help that dynamic, it's totally different. I mean, I did scream hell yeah from the comfort of my own home because it's just a force of habit. You know, like, what? I'm not going to say that. Like, come on now. But it didn't matter because it was just silence in the performance center. And it's just so, so strange. And not in a good way. It was that. And I can see where, when you were talking about WrestleMania, that could be the same thing. WrestleMania is one of the loudest events out there. It's all of sports.
Every year, one of the biggest stories is what the fans are chanting.
Yeah.
Like,
about the Raw after uh-huh. WrestleMania. We're not going to have that.
Probably not.
And you know how influential that night has been in people's careers? You know, they talk about, oh, the fans hijacking Raw, you know, and then it's going to be so different now. It's going to be, I mean, this can really have an impact on, you know, just the future of storylines. I mean, one thing that people joked about is, you know, Bray Wyatt didn't really need to lose the Universal title at this point, because if they were worried about fan reactions with Roman Reigns, there's no fans around, everyone. Bray Wyatt didn't need to lose the belt.
Nope.
So what are we doing, you know? And it's...
But and here's the thing. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt's one of the two best matches on WrestleMania right now. Like, that and Edge versus Randy
Orton.
True.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think all ends, you know, well for those matches. And I think that concern of, oh, you know, Roman Reigns being booed out. Y'all don't have to worry about it now. WWE doesn't have to worry about it. But for that event, especially, it's just, everything is about the crowd, you know, the experience, the, all the moments, the oohs, the ahs, you know, the shock, the everything. And to not have that, I mean, think about it. Like, last year when Kofi Kingston won the WWE Championship, I mean, people felt so invested and engaged, whether you were watching it from, you know, streaming it from your home, or people there. But people there physically were so emotionally attached to that. And I think about that same moment happening in an empty arena. It would not have the same impact. And you talked about one person who this is probably going to impact, you know, their big return to the ring, and that's Edge. I mean, people freaked out when he came back into the Royal Rumble. And now this is his big WrestleMania match. There's not going to be people there to witness that. You know what I mean? Well, I'll see it. It's going to be streamed live around the world. But does it lose something because there's not going to be the fans there to see it in person?
It absolutely does. There's no way it doesn't. Like, they can put on a great show. They can put together a great show. But it absolutely loses its luster. It's not WrestleMania. Like, it's WrestleMania in name. It's not going to feel like a WrestleMania. And that's why I posed the question during Chair Shot Radio. 10 years from now, when we look at WrestleMania highlight packages, we're not going to see anything from WrestleMania 36. We're just not. Because if we do, it's going to be a super close-up shot that doesn't really show the crowd. Because it's going to be, they're going to want to forget it, and they're going to want to move it on. It's already, you already hear, and of course, this is wrestling news, so it never really feels like that. There's a lot of get this over with that's being said and being pushed. You know, I pitched something during Chair Shot Radio, and I just thought about it again, where I think they might pre-tape this WrestleMania. And I just realized that might be a bigger possibility than we even think. from the sheer factor of having too many people in the building at the same time. Like, if you film two matches per day, you don't need that many people there.
Yeah.
And then you can piece it together. So I
wonder. It's a very, you know, I mean, people are still questioning the moon landing. So, I mean, it's very possible that this could be recorded over the course of the next few weeks. And they could easily do that. Just because you're right, there are safety concerns of not having, you know, as many people in the building. It allows them, if they need to do editing, if they need to do redos, which is crazy to think that they would do that for a WrestleMania. It's never been done before. But I do think that it's going to be an important element to get this right, because you're doing it in a different format than it's ever been done before. They may be more cautious about making sure the matches and the setup is exactly what they want. Because when you shoot it live, you know, fans may not be as receptive to it as they had hoped. So very, very possible. And who knows? Who knows if they'll admit it or not? Also, it was brought up earlier, a good point, you know, how long it is. Hopefully it isn't 6 hours. There's no point of having it for 6 hours. I mean, God, that's just misery no one wants to go through. They can cut it by a lot. And that fans may be really thankful for. But one way they do that is they could edit a lot of stuff through these matches. And who knows, you know, maybe pull out the more fuller length stuff later on a special. Who knows if they're even going to put this out on DVD? I mean, I don't think it will ever see the light of day. I mean, I'm sure it will still be in the WWE Network, but, you know, all the grandeur that it comes with a DVD release like others have, I don't think it's going to exist. So that's also, though, another alluring thing about it that, you know, my flock fans to watch this is you'll never see it again. You know, who knows?
I hope not.
Hopefully not. But maybe if this were ever to happen again, they may decide to postpone. Who knows? Or now they have a plan. I mean, I don't think they ever thought they would need a plan to cancel or reschedule WrestleMania. But I think WWE, like many companies now, are coming up with contingency plans that if this act of God, as they say, ever happens, what do you do? So it's putting, I think, WWE and a lot of companies in this new mindset of, you know, how do we protect our employees? How do we protect fans? How do we keep operating? And how do we continue to provide a quality product? I think everyone in every work situation is dealing with that. They just happen to be the world's largest entertainment company that has the largest event happening in weeks. So they're put up a much shorter timeline than most, and this visible stage where everyone's watching every move that they do. So understandably put under a little bit more pressure. But to reference everything, there's actually two articles on Vulture. One, the original one that I referenced was written by Jackson McHenry. Again, professional wrestling without an audience is avant-garde theater. I believe there's a follow-up article that was just published today. Trying to double check who the author is on that, just to give, you know, rightful credit. This is by Sean T. Collins. Pro Wrestling in Empty Arenas is the Weirdest Show on Earth, where he references both SmackDown and Raw. But those are really interesting articles if you are interested in reading them. Again, just because to me, it speaks to my perspective in some of this. I think it's a beautiful way to see a different side of wrestling, to see it for part of the art form that it is. And I truly do think it's going to make fans look at this differently. I think fans are going to be able to think more independently about wrestling now than ever before, because they're not going to feel swayed by a live crowd. They're going to be able to make their own decisions about what they like and what they don't like, because they're going to just have whatever's in front of them. It's almost a one-on-one connection in a weird way. Even though they're watching it from their home, I think fans are going to feel a little bit more connected to what's on the screen, because they're not sharing that with thousands of people anymore. It's almost like, here's a show just for you. And maybe that's me. Maybe that's just my crazy head. But I would be remiss if I don't think that's going to be a new dynamic that's going to happen. And maybe it's a positive thing. Fans are going to be able to reconnect with wrestling. Even like what I mentioned earlier, when you feel like you're losing something, you want to hold on to it tighter. And with fans losing the opportunity to go to wrestling shows, unfortunately for the fans who aren't, you know, now able to attend WrestleMania, you tend to appreciate things a little bit more. And I think wrestling fans are appreciating the fact that you can't take anything for granted. Of course, you know, any day, anything is possible, but it could be a thing now where maybe they're more open to what WWE or other wrestling companies are doing, because we're living in a time now where we just don't know what's going to happen with them. Maybe they will have to suspend tapings, and maybe, you know, we'll just can see best ofs for a few weeks. I know other TV shows are doing that as well. And we as wrestling fans have been very spoiled for 20 plus years where we've gotten, you know, wrestling on a continuous basis, whether it's from WWE or WCW, or even back in the day, you know, NWA, we've just been able to have wrestling on a continuous basis. So when that gets threatened, I definitely feel like fans, you know, puts things into perspective. So this could be a good thing for professional wrestling in the long run. It could be some innovative ways that they decide to approach not only what they do in emergency situations, but how they tell stories, how they film, all these things. It's a new time in the world. And of course, that goes the same for professional wrestling.
Absolutely. There's no precedent set for this. There's no prior anything. Like, it's literally something we've never seen before, something we may never see again, and that's just crazy. And but it's not crazy. Like, usually when I say something's crazy, because it's stupid or it's bad or it shouldn't have happened, it's I'm gonna be intrigued. I'm always excited to watch WrestleMania, and it's like a holiday, right? I am excited to watch WrestleMania, but it's not the same. I'm excited to watch it for a lot of different reasons this time. I don't think I ever realized how important the crowd was to me as a fan watching the show. And and so that's something that I think we learn. You know, we love to complain about the crowd sometimes and how they act and stupid things they do. Maybe we don't do that anymore. Maybe it'll change our perspective on the crowds and the crowd behavior. Maybe it'll change WWE's perspective on the crowds and the crowd's behavior. Who knows?
That's a good point. The whole missing thing, it can be twofold. You know, WWE not having a crowd there, once they get a crowd back, they may just hold on to them, you know, their life, saying, we missed you. We miss having the crowds.
Yeah, I still think it's interesting. I don't know now that they've announced they're going to be doing refunds, but I really thought they would do something in Tampa in June. I bet Tampa gets WrestleMania 30 or 38 at this point. You know, 37's been announced for SoCal. I bet they get 38. That's my guess. That's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to get WrestleMania 38.
Well, a lot of it is wait and see. I mean, that's all we can do. I do want to take the last few minutes of tonight's episode to talk about something that's been kind of important to you and I on our just regular lives, with the coronavirus pandemic just really like affecting all parts of life. One area that really started to get affected by this just as recently as today was the closures of restaurants, and also gyms. And for you and I, we're really big advocates of, you know, taking care of yourself physically. We've both been on our own fitness journeys now for, you know, I know you, it's been almost a year, if not at a year mark.
It's been like, we started at the end of the summer, really picked up in October. So yeah, any somewhere between 6 and 8 months.
Yeah.
Still. A long time.
And I've been on mine for about 3 years now, which is crazy. But one thing that you and I talk about a lot offline, just on a daily basis, is, you know, what we're doing today as far as exercising and working out. And we've, you know, dedicated that as kind of like an accountability buddy, as for short. And there's also been a lot of people online. I've just, you know, read and seen their responses regarding now gyms being forced to close. And that's just because they are an area where you have a lot of people in a confined space. People are sharing equipment. So you're touching equipment and items, and you could, you know, easily spread germs. It's very understandable why, you know, state and local officials have decided to do that. I know in Arizona, I think that Phoenix started that earlier in the day, and Tucson followed. And now both cities and pretty much most of Arizona is in that same state. Other states have already implemented that. And I'm sure other states who haven't yet will be soon. But, you know, I did see a lot of responses online of people actually concerned about the closure of gyms because it's going to impact their physical health. And now with many people being forced to work from home, that working out in a gym was a source of comfort for them. It was a way to, you know, kind of just help maintain stress levels, to help them focus on, you know, their physical health, and that kind of rolls into other elements of their life. I know for me it was a little bit of concern because I do go to a gym several times a week. And for me, the structure has been incredibly important. I know one of my weak areas when it has come to working out was that I just don't have a lot of guidance and I need structure to actually work out. So I go to a gym where we have sequences and structure, not so much like a CrossFit, but more of a boot camp that deals both with strength training and cardio. So it's a mix of things, but I've done that now for over a year. And that's been a pretty big part of my life. And that gym was closed. It actually was featured on the news, which is undisputed here in Tucson, Arizona, because they are also a smaller gym. It's a local gym. So having that impact where not only are you forced to close, and that's affecting people's ability to take care of themselves physically, but you're a small business and now you're losing income because you don't have people coming in. So Greg, I'm really interested in what aspects about this, is impacting your day-to-day life.
It's interesting for me because I do two different things. I go to the gym and I also do what I always call the road work, right? And series of miles that I go anywhere from 4 to 6, even sometimes recently 7 miles of combined running and walking, and also going to the gym. And it's funny that I went to the gym on Monday, and I joked on Chair Shot Radio that me going to the gym on Monday was probably worse than you ring announcing on Sunday in terms of spreading germs and that sort of thing. And Holly, my wife, also went to the gym on Monday before I went. And literally, I get in the car, and I start to drive home, and then I see the email from EOS, it's the gym I go to, and it's like closure announcement or whatever it was talked about. Like, and they're closed through, you know, past the, at least the end of the month, if not longer. And I was like, dude, if this was all I did, I'd be freaking out right now because I've, you know, lost 40 pounds and I'm really pushing because I'm not done yet. And that's the biggest thing. Like, I'm not done. And then with the gym closing, and it immediately shifted, like, I'm still going to do the road work and I'll do it every day. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about even setting a goal, you know, of 20,000 steps per day, which is what I'm thinking about doing. Because I've done 20,000 yesterday to 20,000 today. So tomorrow's supposed to rain, so that's going to suck, but whatever. We'll figure that out. You know, we make it work. It's what we do in life. We joke about that. And literally it's, this is a huge thing. And a lot of gyms are putting out videos. I know Planet Fitness is putting out a series of videos for people, even if they're not members, they can watch them. My daughter, who's a dancer, her dance studio was trying to stay open. Now they're closed. They're putting together videos. They were actually there today filming some videos of technique they were going to be teaching over the coming weeks. So they'll put those online. My daughter's been doing, like there's an online dance organization that's putting out videos by like world famous dancers that are putting together instructional videos for kids who are out of dance. And, you know, my kid's soccer club is putting together a curriculum for things for them to do at home while the soccer teams aren't practicing for all the same reasons. But for me personally, it was like, I'm not stopping. And if they didn't close the gym, I was going to keep going. Like, for better or for worse, you were probably going to keep going to boot camp, you know, if they kept doing it.
I know we talked about this because my sister, who has a young son, and I was planning on visiting them this weekend, I had already told her, well, she knows I go to the gym, and I told her, I want to come and visit you guys this weekend. And she said, okay, that's fine. Don't go to the gym. So she was already telling me not to go to the gym before this closure happened. And it was the same thing. It is. I mean, just like with you and your family, I have mine, where anything you do, you make a conscious decision. But also when you have something that's important to you, like your health, something that you've worked so hard for, how do you continue to maintain it? While also being mindful of what's happening around the world. And it's such a rock and a hard place, you know, and I know for some people, they might find that shocking, like, oh, that may be a selfish, you know, selfish decision. But I think that's happening with everyone in some capacity, whether it's just, you know, people who still need to go to the store, people who, you know, maybe are cooped up at home and they still just want to go outside and walk, people who are still trying to stay engaged in other social activities, whether, you know, and now that's a lot limited because movie theaters are closing, libraries are closing, bars are closing. Anywhere that you can have a social gathering is pretty much closed. But there's still stores, you know, even just shopping malls right now are not closed. Individual stores are closing. But, you know, a lot of people in retail are still working through it. So, I mean, you always take a risk when you are evaluating, you know, what do you do on a daily basis and where you go. But when you have something that's impactful, like your physical health, it forces you to change your mindset, but it also just makes it really challenging. Like you said, to, you know, how do you still maintain a habit? You know, this is, could also be a breaking point for some people where it may be a challenge for them to work out, and they kind of regress in a lot of the progress that they've made. I've been one of those where I definitely have not worked out in the past few days. This was the first time, I think, since last Wednesday that I really worked out. And some of it is just almost motivation. When you don't have a gym to go to, when you are being told to stay in your house, It really makes it challenging. I know for some people, they prefer to work out at home, and that's great because they already have that structure. But for a lot of people like you and I, it's making us change our mindset on how we or what we do in order to stay healthy. But I think it's important to continue with that mindset that through this, you want to be healthy. I also want to preface, I mean, something that you and I both do on our own is DDP yoga, which is done through a series of DVDs that can be purchased, but also the DDP Yoga app. Now, an interesting thing that did happen, which I don't know if this happened with other websites or other apps, was when this was first starting at the end of last week, the app was down for like 2 to 3 days. So even if we wanted to try and work out from home, we couldn't because the app was down. And I think we were both in a kind of a panic because that's just such a ritual that we each do every day. And when that was down for 2 days, it was like, oh,
it was the end of the
crap,
world.
What do you do now?
It was the end. Like the world was literally coming to an end in so many ways, including that.
Yeah. So
to the point where I emailed their support people. Like, I was like emailing their support people, and that's how I got the solution to fix it. And yeah. It worked, and then got you the solution, and it worked.
Well,
so.
And that's also because their yoga studio in Smyrna, Georgia was closed. So, I mean, they're not even open, but they have a whole library and catalog of years of yoga sessions. So I think, too, it's being creative about, you know, what you do. So you mentioned lots of videos out there, gyms now putting out videos. But if you are now at a point in time where you're not sure what to do, I'm just an advocate of DDP yoga. I really enjoy it. There's lots of sessions for all levels, whether it's your first time doing yoga or you've done it for years. There's apps, or you could download the app on your phone. You can access their website. You can do it on a tablet. It tracks your workouts. And there's literally a massive amount of workouts. They have recordings of live workouts, workouts from several years ago, workouts that are anywhere from as short as 20 minutes all the way up to over an hour. So that's just my, you know, selfish plug for DDP yoga. But it's more of an encouragement to find what works best for you too. To not give up, to not, you know, let this stop you from continuing your journey. Just, you know, do what works best for you. I've also found some great exercises on Pinterest. So if you have a Pinterest board, if you're wondering, where do I find workouts? Pinterest is a great way to go because you can find visual aids of exercises and videos that you can do, sequences that you can follow. Like I said, I need structure. So for me, I need everything laid out. I can't just think about it in my head and then, you know, do it. I need someone to tell me what to do, sometimes to even time me. So figure out what works best for you.
But do something. That's the biggest thing there. Like, if yes. you're someone that went to the gym, that's easy. You know, and we like easy. We do. And the what you're doing there isn't easy, but getting there, you know, you have the routine, you have the time, they have the board, they have whatever. You go to the gym, you have the trainer, you have the group class, you have, you know, the machines are there.
You
have the
machine, you're telling you exactly what
it's all there
for
you. Now, when all that's taken away from you, and you're like, what do I do? You got to figure it out. And that's what really separates people. And it's like, hey, who's really in this? Because the ones that are really in this, like you and I, like we're going to find ways and mm-hmm. and we're going to do things and we're going to make sure that it works and we're still going to hold each other accountable and we're going to make sure we're discovering new things. Some other people, it's going to stop. It's going to fall off and that's going to suck and they're going to regress. And, it, you know, if you're on the fence and if you're feeling like you don't have anything to do, like Google it, man. There is a ton of resources out there. Those resources have always been there. Now people are just going to use them. But don't let this derail you. Do something and keep going, because whether you just started last week or whether you've been doing it for 3 years, doesn't make a difference. Like, keep going. Don't let this stop you, because this is, you know, this is temporary, and don't lose ground. So do it.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Keep
do
the
it
progress going. And you're more than welcome. If you have any questions, if you need any insight or advice, or if you'd like to, you know, just ask some questions, feel free to reach out on social media. I'm at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. I'm happy to hear, you know, your ideas, or if you need resources, I'm happy to share what I've, you know, things that I've liked, things what have worked for me. And, you know, ultimately, everyone has to find what works best for them. So what worked for me may not work for you. But if you're looking for some guidance on where to look, what exact things you'd like, feel free to reach out to myself. I don't know about Greg DeMarco, only because he's still on his social media kind of hiatus. But you can find him at Chairshot Greg on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, email me. That's really the best way. GregDeMarco@thechairshot.com is a really easy way as well. But even if you do the other ones, I will see it at some point. But
I'll let Greg know. I'm usually on there. I'll just, you know, give him a shove. Be like, hey.
Tag her. Send me a message. Then tell Miranda you sent me a message. She'll be like, hey, someone sent you a message. And then I will find it.
Yes. Fair enough.
But either way, like if you need the support, we will definitely provide it for you, because we know the benefits, we've seen them, and it's a big part of our lives. So it ain't stopping us, and it shouldn't stop you either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've reached the end of another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I mean, we will see what the future holds. I know that there's going to be continued more news and updates in the world of professional wrestling over the next week. So just continue to stay tuned. I greatly appreciate your support. Greatly appreciate everyone who listens. I know that there's a lot going on in the world at this time, and for you to take the time out of your day to listen to this show means everything to me. So thank you so much. This is just a great time. If you want to pursue different interests and passions, learn new things, try new things, this is a great time to do it. Even though there's a lot of chaos happening out in the world, take some time to focus on yourself, to focus about the things that you care about, whether it's your, you know, physical fitness, your mental health, to focus on learning a new skill, to do something you've always wanted to do. This is, you know, the time to do it. And I fully support you in that. So thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to visit .com and ewrestlingnews.com for all your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. And I'm back here next week, so I hope you are too. Take care.
And I started listening to them. And they took my crooked little world and they turned it into a majestic funhouse. You broke me, John. But the Fiend, he put me back together. And at WrestleMania, it's going to be a slaughter. You just don't know it yet. Let me in, John.